From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 37 and verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. The teaching of these words must seem very surprising to those who are strangers to vital godliness. But to the sincere believer, it is only the inculcation of a recognized truth. The life of the believer is here described as a delight in God. And we are thus certified of the great fact that true religion overflows with happiness and joy. Ungodly persons and mere professors never look upon religion as a joyful thing. To them it is service, duty, or necessity, but never pleasure or delight. If they attend to religion at all, it is either that they may gain thereby, or else because they dare not do otherwise. The thought of delight in religion is so strange to most men that no two words in their language stand further apart than holiness and delight. But believers who know Christ understand that delight and faith are so blessedly united that the gates of hell cannot prevail to separate them. They who love God with all their hearts find that His ways are ways of pleasantness, and all His paths are peace. Such joys, such brimful delights, such overflowing blessednesses do the saints discover in their Lord, that so far from serving Him from custom, they would follow Him though all the world cast out His name as evil. We fear not God because of any compulsion. Our faith is no fetter, our profession is no bondage. We are not dragged to holiness, nor driven to duty. No, our piety is our pleasure, our hope is our happiness, our duty is our delight. Delight and true religion are as allied as root and flower, as indivisible as truth and certainty. They are, in fact, two precious jewels glittering side by side in a setting of gold. 'Tis when we taste thy love, our joys divinely grow, unspeakable like those above, and heaven begins below.
Oh,
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. For the past few broadcasts, Dr. Cairns has been expounding portion of chapter 9 of the Epistle to the Romans. Today he'll bring the final portion of a message called The Purpose of Grace and a Passion for Souls. The text for the message is verses 1 through 5 of chapter 9, in which Paul reveals his heart for the Jews. Yet, as Dr. Cairns has demonstrated, Paul's view of salvation as found in the Old Testament applies to both Jews and Gentiles. All are saved in the same way. An important part of Paul's emphasis in the text is a faithful explanation of God's sovereignty and salvation. Because Christ's work on the cross was successful, the gospel is destined to succeed. Contrary to what some would argue, belief in God's electing grace leads to a passion for souls. This was Paul's great burden. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, The Purpose of Grace and a Passion for Souls.
What I want to get over to every Christian here tonight is this, that there are two things that should always go together. The purpose of sovereign grace and our passion for lost souls. There's a big lesson here for us all. Listen to what Paul says at the very beginning. This is how he's getting into the doctrine of predestination. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for the sake of my brethren. What is he saying? He's saying that a true view of the sovereignty of God will never lessen your love for souls. And I will put it to you bluntly. If you say, oh, I believe in election, I believe in predestination, I believe in this, I believe in that, and it's all philosophical, it's all in your head, and you can sit back and let the world go to hell, and it means little or nothing to you, you do not begin to believe in the sovereignty of God. You've perverted into an idol, and into a veritable blasphemy. One of the most precious revelations that God has given us in Scripture. Because the more we see the sovereignty of grace, the more it will engender within us and inflame within our hearts a genuine passion for souls. You see, the doctrine of grace does not kill evangelism. It rather promotes evangelism. Have a look at your church history. Even here in the United States, the great movements of soul-winning power, historically, were movements under men who preached this apparently severe old message of sovereign grace. I've often mentioned some names in American church history of which most American Christians are totally ignorant, and I think it's a tragedy. If you ask your normal American evangelical, who was the great revival preacher of America, you're going to come up 9 times out of 10 with Charles G. Finney. Mr. Finney had many, many gifts, many, many abilities. But he was the blight upon revival. Not the moving force in great movements of the Holy Ghost. When I ask Christians, what have you ever read of Asahel Nettleton? Never heard of him. Never heard of him. Ah, how far we have drifted. God moves through men who believe these things. But I want to tell you, this is not the killer of evangelism, but the promoter of it. Paul had this wonderful passion. And one of the most amazing and passionate statements anywhere to be found in the Bible, it's so amazing, to be quite honest, that linguists and scholars, again, cannot allow Paul to say what he has said. They try to evacuate what he said, especially in verse 3, of its meaning. I want you to understand this. Here's Paul's passion, and it's marked by 3 things. And if you understand the grace of God, this is the passion that must mark you. This is the passion we must have in this church. A passion for souls. Real sinners. Not just the elect. I remember talking to a preacher who was praying publicly only for the elect. I said, that's not your business. I believe God will bring in His elect, but I'm here to pray for sinners. And I'm here to preach for sinners. And I'm here to go after sinners. And it's up to God to do His own work. Paul didn't know who the elect were. Among the Jews, or indeed among the Gentiles. So therefore he couldn't limit his love to the elect, could he? He had a burning zeal for the conversion of his brethren. Why? Because they were Jews. Of course he had a passion for others. But can I say, you'll never have a passion for people in China or Africa if you've no passion for your fellow Americans. If you've no love for sinners in your own doorstep, you'll never have a love for sinners across the world. Leaving your home country and going to the mission field never gives you a passion for souls. It's a vision of the grace of God that will give a passion for souls. And that passion will be marked by sincerity. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. You see, when it comes to this matter, there's an awful lot of hocus-pocus talk. There's an awful lot of hypocritical rubbish talk. Christians have learned certain holy-sounding little phrases. Paul wants nothing to do with that. He says, I'm speaking now before God. The Holy Ghost is witnessing that this is true. When I talk about a passion for souls, this is not me taking poetic license. This is not me talking up a storm and then going out and forgetting about it. This is something that I'm absolutely sincere about. Then it's marked by gravity. Verse 2, I have great heaviness. Paul felt heaviness, pain, and burden. And well he might. The people of the Jews had magnificent advantages. To them, he says, belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, and all the rest of it. They're descended from the fathers. And from their line, Christ was born, who is over all, God blessed forever. The Jews, isn't this the tragedy? This is what broke Paul's heart. The Jews, you could say, gave Christ to the world, for he was born a Jew. And they rejected him. And Paul says, I have great pain. I suffer. I have continual sorrow. I fear people who never have a sense of humor. But let me tell you, my friend, there is an unwarranted levity. Christians have bought into the ethos of the age in which we live, where all that matters is that they feel good and laugh plenty. You look around you, you've tens of millions of Americans, and they're standing tonight on the edge of an everlasting hell. And for many of God's professed people, it has never once cost them a thought. I grew up in the Free Church when we had prayer meetings, where we looked out in the districts where God had placed us. And I remember the district in which I served as a member of our little church in Mount Marion. It was as hard as hell could make it. It was a development of buildings, post-war buildings, because Belfast had been ravaged and really brought to the dust and ashes through the bombing of the Second World War. And people were displaced in a new surroundings and they got hardened. It was as hard as hell could make it. Friday nights we would meet to pray. Sabbath days we'd have prayer and fasting. We looked at our families, loved ones within a heartbeat of hell. And as a young man I learned to pray among men who were not ashamed to weep for the souls of men and women. Is there a church in Greenville tonight, including this one, whose prayer meetings are anything more than speech making to God? Is there a church in Greenville tonight in which people weep o'er the erring one and lift up the fallen to the throne of grace? Paul says, I have continual sorrow in my heart. There's gravity. And then there's intensity. Listen to what he says. I could wish. I don't want to get into the technicalities of the translation here. Let me say that the translation here is perfectly good and accurate. Paul is not saying, I do wish. The word could be translated pray. He didn't pray to be accursed from Christ. But what he was saying is, if it were legitimate, if by my perishing I could save my people, I would do it. What is he saying? How far am I willing to go to get the gospel to my people? How far would I be willing to go to save their souls? On another occasion, he says that I might by all means save some. Well, how far would he go in those means? He said before God, if I could save them, I would go to hell. Audie Murphy called his biography To Hell and Back. But for Paul, there would be no back. He couldn't go to hell. He couldn't desire to go to hell. But he was saying, I have an intensity. I cannot sit back and simply say, oh, God is sovereign. He'll save whom he wills. I believe he'll do that. But I also believe that he who ordained the end will ordain the means. And I will do anything. Can you imagine this man saying, I would go to hell to save him, but I'm too busy to go to the prayer meeting? Could you imagine that? Could you? We have Christians here who could have been at every prayer meeting practically in the last year, and they haven't been at one. Could you imagine this man saying, I would go to hell to save them, if that were possible or permissible? But I'll never invite a sinner under the sound of the gospel. No. There's sincerity, there's gravity, and there's intensity. And this is Paul's response to what? To a vision of the world and its need? Possibly. But no, the reality, this is Paul's response to a vision of the sovereign, electing grace of God, the grace that is sovereign in its ordination, sincere in its offer, and successful in its operation. The purpose of grace, a passion for souls, they must go together. May God give us a vision of him in his grace and stir our hearts with such a passion for the souls of men. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for grace. 'Tis indeed a charming sound. What grace that Jesus died for sinful men. Jesus died for me. Thank you, Lord, for sovereign grace that has reached us in our sin. Reach others tonight. Gracious God, create conviction. Grant the gift of saving faith and of repentance unto life. Let not one soul go out of this place rejecting our Savior. Lord, speak to all thy people here. Teach us to weep over sinners. Teach us, Lord, to be motivated by the sight of the grace of God, that we may serve thee with a passion for the lost souls that are all around us. Lord, make this church a soul-saving center within a yard of hell. Sanctify our services with the presence of the Lord to the saving of precious souls. Unite our families. Look at every home that's represented here. Reach out to our young people, our young men, our young women, our children. Gracious God, let not one of them have all the advantages, only to perish. God, have mercy, we pray. Save our families and give us a witness that will win many lost ones to Christ. Hear our prayer. Parted with thy blessing, keep us in thy fear, the beginning of all knowledge and wisdom. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit our Comforter, be our abiding portion both this Sabbath evening and until Jesus comes or calls. We pray, giving thee our thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.